Welcome to the Better Questions podcast. We wrestle with hard questions and seek to ask better ones. Our question today comes from Sarah. Sarah asks, I was recently promoted in my job and can't help but feel imposter syndrome. How do we deal with the feeling like we aren't as good as others think we are? Wow, great question. One that I have experienced considerably in my life and wrestled with myself, this idea of feeling that maybe others' perception of you is not the reality of you. The condition of the imposter syndrome often makes people feel like they're a fraud or a phony. And I think there are a lot of things that can contribute to this. I want to maybe dive a little deeper here. What is it about ourselves that oftentimes we can be more critical of ourselves than others are? It may be that others are saying, great job, or you're doing your job well, or congratulate you. And yet inside we may have self-doubt and say, well, you don't really know. I really am just faking it, or I don't really know what I'm doing. I think it's important for us to think beneath the surface. At some point in childhood, we all make this discovery that we can manipulate the truth about ourselves. Okay? Usually it happens in the form of a lie, denying you've done something. My son is in the habit of denying that he was the one who didn't flush the toilet, when clearly we all know it was him. Right? He knows that, well, if I tell it wasn't me, then I don't have to actually go and face the music and flush the toilet. But even more than denying something is the development of what we'll call the false self, is the discovery that our ability to hide, it's not just limited to what we do or don't say, right? Because we learn to pretend. The art of packaging ourselves in a certain way. Think about how social media operates. People see often our highlight reels. We package a certain narrative about ourselves, how we want to be perceived, when the truth is often, usually, I'd say in most people's cases, far more messy. You may see pictures of your family on the beach having a wonderful time on vacation, when in reality, you're back in the hotel putting on aloe vera because everyone's sunburned and has sand everywhere, and everyone's off their nap schedule. I may or may not be speaking from experience when it seems like every vacation. You come home more exhausted than before you left, right? But what we present to the world often is a very different narrative. And some of this is healthy or a defense mechanism. You know, we may feel afraid, but we appear to be brave. We may be angry with someone, but we learn how to mask that anger in the moment. And some of that can be healthy, some of it can be unhealthy. But the dark side of this projection or this false self is when pretending to be something begins as a role, but ends up becoming an identity. Initially, the mask, we try to reflect how we want others to see us, but over time, they become a reflection of how we want to see ourselves. And then we become confused about what's the mask and what's our actual experience. We become a sort of house of smoke and mirrors where we can't even discern who we really are. There's a beautiful book by a guy named David Benner. It's called The Gift of Being Yourself. And he writes this. He says, the only hope for unmasking the falsity that resides at the core of our being is a radical encounter of truth. Nothing other than truth is strong enough to dispel illusion, and only having the spirit of truth can save us from the consequences of having listened to the serpent rather than God. Benner then goes on to talk about the encounter in Genesis with Adam and Eve, and how the serpent plays a role in trying to get Adam and Eve to believe the false narrative. try to believe something that God did not intend for them. That the lie that Adam and Eve believed was that they could be like God without God. But the truth is, without God, the most we could ever make ourselves into is a God. I think for many of us, it's discerning that thin line between our perception of who we want others to think we are and who we truly are. And I think Jesus wrestled with this himself. He was both fully man and fully God. He had to battle with temptation. We see this example in Matthew when Jesus is in the desert. He is tempted by the evil one. And it's really a fascinating exchange where we see Jesus tempted in three of what I think are some of humanity's core longings. In fact, I'm not the one who pointed this out. I remember reading this in a book by Henry Nouwen, but he points out that there's three core questions that are being probed in Jesus. The first is this, I am what I do. That our identity is rooted in what we can do and accomplish. Remember, the evil one tempts Jesus and says, turn these stones into bread. You can do this. This is what you're capable of. And for all of us, this is often, I think, where some of this imposter syndrome comes from. We accomplish and do things. People recognize us for that. But when our identity becomes rooted in what we can do and accomplish, then all of a sudden we're going to be wrestling with this tension. When we have success, we feel good. When we fail, we feel lower, depressed. And we get older and we look back at our life, we look at all of our trophies and look at what we did, look at the books we wrote, the music we created, the teams we played on. In the end, what does it mean? The second longing that Henry Nouwen points out is that I am what other people say about me. Remember the scene where the devil takes him to the holy city, has him stand on the highest point of the temple, and it says, if you are the Son of God, right, insinuating this is who people say you are, then throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, they will lift you up in their hands, and you will not strike a foot on the stone. Which is, again, the devil twisting the scriptures here to manipulate Jesus at a time when he's been fasting for days and days, is probably going through it. And what does Jesus say? It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. The longing of what other people say about you, that if you are the Son of God, then if you were to throw yourself off the building, you would be saved. I don't care who you are. People's words can be painful. It's not just what we think about ourselves, but it's what other people say of us. If people speak well of you, we can live freely and feel good. But when they speak badly or say negative things, it can affect how we feel. It can cut deep. I know negative things that have been said about me, either behind my back or to me, still affect me to this day. I still have to wrestle with it. And the last longing is I am what I have. Right? Satan tempts him with everything. He says, look at all of the kingdoms of this world. I will give it all to you if you bow down and worship to me. And Jesus says, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The last one, I am what I have. The reality is this. Everything we've accumulated in this life, in the end, will fade. Jesus tells us this in a variety of different ways and teachings, that all the things we store up will eventually become rust and moths will destroy. Far too much energy goes into I am what I do, I am what others say about me, and I am what I have. But see, Jesus lived out of his identity in the beloved. Remember before this scene, when Jesus is baptized, we have this beautiful moment where we actually see a you know, the word Trinity isn't in the New Testament, but here we see this moment where the Father, a voice from heaven, says, "This is my Son, my beloved, on whom my favor rests." And on top of that, it says, "The Spirit of God descends like a dove." So here we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together. And it says, when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. The heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." You see, Jesus, his identity is rooted in and anchored by the fact that he is beloved. He heard that voice, and he clings to that voice as he lived his life, even though people rejected him, spoke badly about him, betrayed him, but he held on to that identity as the beloved. And here's the good news. For those of you who are wrestling with imposter syndrome, you are the beloved sons and daughters of God, and even if you are a fraud, because on some level, all of us are, you are still a beloved son and daughter of God. And if you can get that, not just in your head, but in your gut, to truly know that, it can transform your life. You can have rejection, you can receive praise, you can have failures, but you're no longer searching for a person who is desperate for their identity, but your identity is rooted in the voice that calls you the beloved. And that false self that we project all of a sudden can lose its grip and power on us. Many of us are going to wrestle with our shadow, if you will, to use a Jungian term, for the rest of our life. But in a wrestling, remember who you truly are, a beloved son and daughter of the King. Thanks again for tuning in. Better questions. Send in your questions to betterquestions@eastminster.org. Look forward to hearing, and we have a couple interviews coming up next week. I look forward to that. Talk to you soon. Grace and peace.